This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello and welcome to our ILTA podcast entitled Operations 101. My name is Corey Reitz and I am a cyber assurance architect at Sandia National Laboratories. I will be our moderator. I'm fortunate to be joined by our two speakers, Don Knight, Director of Legal and Tax Operations at Crown Castle, and Mike Russell, Lean Leader of Legal Operations at Train Technologies. Let's get started with a question for Don to start with first, and then we'll turn to Mike for his additional thoughts. Don, what does legal operations generally look like in a corporate or government setting today?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Corey. You know, it looks a little bit different from organization to organization, but I would say in general, the groups tend to be pretty small, you know, 1 to 3 people. And it really requires you to be somewhat of a generalist and have some knowledge of a lot of different areas. You know, for example, in my world, I'm looking at, you know, finance, technology support, process improvement initiatives, vendor management, reporting and analytics, and the like. So it kind of spans the gamut. I always joke that it's sort of anything that's not the practice of law, so that you could imagine that a lot of things get lumped into that bucket. So often you'll have someone like me who has sort of a business background or a technology background. You might find a business analyst type person, you know, working in that role too, but you really need somebody who's flexible and can sort of take on whatever challenges may come and adjust as they go. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly I can relate to wearing all the hats. It's a very similar scenario for my current organization. That said, some of the larger organizations, particularly in financial services, insurance, and some of the technology sector, they have just massive amounts of, whether it's litigation or IP work, you know, where you've got hundreds of attorneys, then you'll see the larger legal ops teams that it once upon a time were typically systems oriented, IT oriented, as you mentioned. And then over the years, they grew to assume this analytics and reporting, financial relationship, the outside counsel management piece, lately getting very involved in diversity and inclusion and initiatives with those law firms, auditing the law firms for privacy and data security and all of that. So you're in a larger organization, you definitely can find a career path and grow into a more specific role. And fortunately, one of the side benefits I found of a larger team, you get a little more time to sort of kick the tires with new technology, have a little internal R&D, whereas in a smaller team of 1 to 3, like you mentioned, you just don't have that kind of time. So those are two big differences, I think, between the sizes of the entities.
Very interesting. So in general, a lot of jacks of all trade, but as we look at the more sophisticated, larger companies, they get to do a little more R&D and experimentation, it sounds like. Good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's true, that the smaller you are, the more time you kind of spend putting out the fire at the tot. Whereas if you have maybe a right-sized team, you can spend a little bit more time being forward-looking and solving those sorts of problems.
Makes sense. Great. So now that we have a baseline, can you share with us what legal operations should look like in a corporate or government setting in the future? And maybe give us an idea of what direction an organization should be heading in?
Well, I'll start by saying it depends. Anyone in legal will appreciate that answer. Certainly in today's world, what the future may look like is a little more uncertain than in years past. But I think it does go to some of the comments that Don made earlier, specifically around process improvement. You know, you need to figure out from the general counsel's perspective and from the business perspective of the organization, you know, where are the friction points with the legal department? Are there issues with contract review? Are there issues with managing matters? Are there issues with litigation? Is it a spend type of issue where we're spending lots of money on outside counsel and vendors and we don't really understand the spend or why it is what it is? So I think it's important to have that strategic plan to understand, you know, these are the gaps in our current process where we need to focus. And then as you develop that roadmap, and there's lots of resources out there to help people develop 1, 3, 5 year roadmaps, think about where you're going to apply most of your resources in that next year, the next 3 years, potentially ask for budget if maybe it's a lack of a system and you need an upgrade or a new piece of technology. Basically, think about how the resources you have will be used. If you're lucky enough to build a business case for new resources, that's awesome. You can do that. Potentially leverage a partner. There's some really excellent folks out there in the legal ecosystem that will supplant your internal team with additional resources and help you figure out what some of those strategies are. Because in fact, sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees and you need that outside viewpoint.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, those are all good points. And, you know, the only things I would add to what Mike said, you know, I think there's really two key issues, and Mike hit up upon one of them, is that, you know, I think we're being asked to do more with less, and that's been a kind of a constant theme the last few years, but the resources don't seem to be coming to solve, you know, a lot of the issues that we have. So I think looking at some more advanced technologies, like all the advancements that are being made in artificial intelligence, and I think we're in the early days still with legal, especially in the contract space, that could be helpful. Robotic process automation, we're doing a little bit of experimentation with that to automate some repetitive processes that we have. And then, you know, you can look into advanced analytic techniques. Right now, I think a lot of people are sort of just gathering and reporting on financial data, but, you know, maybe looking at outcome data and using that to set your strategy. And Mike, you could probably comment on this, but I think the insurance companies are maybe a little bit ahead of some of the other types of corporations in that regard. And the only other thing I would say is that COVID may be driving or accelerating the trend towards working more virtually. So, you know, thinking about tools that can help your department do that, whether that's things like Microsoft Teams, Slack, you know, video conferencing technology that's easy to use. I think those are some of the problems that we're going to have to solve, trying to make a virtual workforce feel more connected.
Right. So if I was to combine what I heard, Mike, it sounds like really you got to start with the end in mind, put together that strategic plan. And my main takeaway from Dawn is that the reality is there's not huge budgets for operations. So you're being asked to do more with less. So you got to be creative, leverage technology, leverage the strengths of your team to squeeze the most out of the lemon, as it might be. Great. Dawn, how can a corporation or government entity accurately determine how well they are doing, perhaps as compared to their peers and competitors, and then take a reasonable approach to improving in that area of legal operations going forward without, you know, breaking people?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would mention is industry groups like obviously ILTA and there's others like the Association for Corporate Counsel, Ops Section, and CLOC, where you can network with your peers and understand sort of where they are and where they're going and learn from what they've already accomplished. And that's been a big key for me is networking, staying up on the current trends. Also, there's industry models out there. I know both ACC and CLOC have maturity models that you can use to sort of see where you fall on that and see, you know, where a more mature organization would go. And those have been helpful as well, especially trying to explain to people who don't really understand legal operations what it's all about and sort of what you can achieve. And also, you know, there's a lot of benchmarking surveys that get passed around. I know ACC just did a huge one showing the value of legal operations and showing where people stand on each of the measures in the maturity model. So I think in general, staying connected with the industry groups and your peers is very helpful in that regard.
Awesome. Mike, any additional comments on gauging your status and improving?
Yeah, I definitely could not have said it any better than Don already did with respect to all the industry resources that are out there. In addition to the major sort of networking and, you know, professional associations, many of the consultancies, both in general legal consulting, some are a little more specific in the discovery space, but both tend to offer their own views of what they're seeing, certainly across their own clients, and they'll often take the time to survey non-clients and pull that into some interesting things. So any of those major consultancies will have things to add. And one of the, you know, the great benefits, and perhaps the greatest benefit of the industry association, is that ability to, you know, get to know folks that are fighting the same battles that you are, and, you know, ideally in the same industry. So you're familiar with, you know, maybe the types of litigation you're dealing with or the portfolio of legal work. So you can very closely measure that, you know, you tell your GC that, well, wow, you know, the GC of our direct competitor, who I happen to know, the legal ops person over there, you know, they solved this problem this way, that type of stuff. And that's really, to me, the most invaluable part of those relationships and establishing your own professional network over the years.
Yeah, and I think especially on the smaller teams, you can start to feel kind of alone and lose track of if you're actually making progress. And I think what you'll find is when you network, people are facing a lot of the same things that you are, and also you may not be doing as poorly as you think you are. So it can be easy to lose track of that when you're sort of knee deep in something, but sometimes it's helpful to step outside of that and talk to others and see what you can learn.
Yeah, and it's interesting. The other side benefit is you'll meet people in your own geography, your own region, that you may not even know that even a mid-sized city might have 5, 10, 15 people working in legal ops, and you just never knew that position existed right at other companies. And I, every single time I'm involved with a regional get-together, there's at least one person there that is like, wow, I've met my tribe. I didn't know that there were others like me. And that's speaks directly to what Don just said, because if your company hasn't had the role before or hasn't been involved in the associations, you might feel like this, you know, single person out there.
Yeah, that can be very comforting just to find people who are dealing with the same challenges and commiserate and then come up with ideas. I've experienced that with ILTA. That's a great thing to have. I've learned a lot during our short time together. I really appreciate it. Thank you to our speakers, Don and Mike, for sharing their expertise with us. And thank you to those of you who have tuned into our podcast today. Take care, everyone, and stay safe.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.